Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Glad to be back?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you are new here, you may not know that we are a church steeped in tradition, rituals, routines, and there's a certain way we do things. So one of our traditions, and this is the fourth year we're doing this, is that the Sunday after Thanksgiving break is one of normally the lowest attended Sunday services. So because it's the lowest attended, it is of vital importance. And so they give me, the youngest pastor, the opportunity, the privilege to share on this Sunday. And so why Pastor Ron and Pastor Ken and the other team, they can, you know, enjoy their family and friends and football, and I get to be in the Word praying and fasting and thinking, Lord, please use me. So it's my honor and privilege to preach to you this morning. And also, yeah, it's going to be good. So I didn't eat anything. I fasted all week, so hope this is good. So anyway, we are going to finish up our series on thankfulness. Hasn't that been a good series, being thankful?
Yes.
And we're going to talk about being eternally thankful. So this is the last one, and then I'm not sure what we're preaching on next, but probably something about Christmas, I'd assume. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. I pray that you would be with us, Lord, that you would reveal from your word something new and powerful about you, that we would get a revelation from heaven. Father, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to touch us where we're at, that we would not leave this meeting the same, Father, that our hearts and our minds would be refreshed and changed, Lord, to be what you've called us to be. And Lord, for all of our members who are not here, who are traveling or who are under the weather or just getting ready for this week, I pray that you'd be with them and bless them in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start with the scripture that you probably have heard before, but probably have not put with a thankfulness type of topic. So it's a scripture, but normally when you read this, you don't think, wow, that's about thankfulness or about eternal thankfulness. But let me just see if it works. So, you know, it's been a crazy week, so let's see how we go. So first scripture is Mark 10, 17 through 31, and this is the story of the rich young ruler. This is the story of the rich young ruler. And you're going to see through this how this story is really about eternity, and it's about your thankfulness and your perspective through eternity. And I want to propose to you this morning that being thankful is not just about being thankful right this second. Thankfulness is like a time machine. Thankfulness can take you back to fond memories. Thankfulness can make you feel present. It can make the world completely stop right now. And thankfulness can also propel you forward into future hope on this life or the life to follow.
Good.
And so thankfulness is not just, oh yeah, I'm thankful, cool. Thankfulness is a time machine. Thankfulness is eternal because we serve an eternal God. So I want to maybe break some of our mindsets about thankfulness and look at it just a little bit differently. So here we go. Verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay, so this young man, which we'll learn, was very rich and very powerful and wealthy. We find that he had all these things, but what was he really concerned about? The future, eternal life. Am I going to inherit eternal life? Am I going to go to heaven? When I die, what's going to happen to me? And I think eternity is written on all of our hearts. But he understood that I've got, maybe you just had a great week, but you're in church today because there's something that we need to look forward to. There's something else out there. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Good.
There was eternity in his heart. Verse 18, Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And you must honor your father and mother. Now the rich young ruler, he asked the wrong question. He said, what must I do? Right? And I think we approach God like this sometimes. What must I do? What can I do to fix myself? What can I do to earn it to heaven? And Jesus, instead of rebuking him, played along with him. He said, you got to be perfect. You got to be perfect. You got to obey every single commandment. And he listed about five or six, but there's, you know, over 500 commandments he had to follow. He said, no problem, just be perfect, right? But he was playing along with the young man, but the young man said, how can I, in my own strength, do it? How can I make my present day eternal? Okay? And he was asking the wrong question. Verse 20, teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. I'm perfect, Jesus. I'm perfect, right? And it's so funny because he obviously wasn't perfect because he was kneeling at Jesus' feet crying out for help, knowing in his soul that there was something missing, that there was something eternal that was not there, and he was crying out to Jesus, help me, right? But when he was asked about his lifestyle, he said, I'm perfect. And it's really funny. I don't know about you, but I've met people, when you talk to them, they're like, you know, like, I have no regrets. You know, everything I've done has just made me the person I am today. And it sounds good, but I'm like, I have so many regrets. Like, can you imagine if you started saving money since you were like 15, or you got on fire for Jesus when you were, you know, when you were really young? You know, your life would be so different, you know? Praise God, he still loves us and helps us, but I have so many regrets, and, you know, I get to let those go, but the point is that in ourselves, we cannot be perfect. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. This is really important. This man who was totally deceived, totally wrong, Jesus loved him. He loved him. And then what did he do? He confronted him. See, sometimes when you love someone, you confront them, right? Love very often is confrontation. Yeah. There's one thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. He said, I want you to get rid of all of your security on this earth, because if you really want eternal inheritance, you're going to have to get rid of this and put your hope in what I can give you eternally. Yep. 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Verse 24. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children. It's funny. He called these grown men children. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, which was a little type of opening back in the ancient Near East that was, a camel couldn't go through it. It was like a sliver. It was really small. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for then someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? No one can be saved, right? Because I just saw Jesus dismantle this person who was moral, who was rich, who was wealthy, who had everything that life had to offer, but he knew something was missing, and Jesus just turned him away because he said, the real issue is that you're your own savior. You don't really want me to be your savior, right? So that was the problem. And then the disciples picked up on this. They said, who can be saved? He had everything. I don't bring anything to the table. Who can be saved? And Peter spoke up. Oh, sorry. Verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So rich people can be saved, praise God. It's possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, that's this earth, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. Along, you'll get 100 times, but you'll get persecutions as well. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So the story of the rich young ruler has many lessons for us. Obviously, Jesus talks about performance and works, and it's about salvation, but there's this thread throughout where they're talking about eternal life and eternity. And eternity is such an important topic that we need to discuss, and normally when I hear sermons about eternity, they're almost always about the future. They're almost never about right now and the past. And so the way I believe that the Lord looks at eternity is not just the future in heaven, but it's everything that has been right now and everything that will be. And I believe that the heart of thankfulness is a true gratitude and thankfulness for everything that has been done for us, our current situation right now, and our future hope and what is to come. Okay? So I don't just want to focus on, hey, listen, I know life may suck, but guess what? You're going to die one day, go to heaven, praise God. Right? Go have a terrible life. Or the prosperity gospel. You guys are all going to be millionaires. If you just work harder and believe the Bible and read it more and have more faith, you're going to be millionaires. That's also not true. Right? A lot of us, the more we follow Jesus, the more persecuted we're going to get. Right? Okay? And we have brothers and sisters in our churches, every nation churches all over the world, that it's illegal to come to church. And they get thrown in jail. We have pastors that get beaten and thrown in jail and get even killed for the gospel. I can't preach to them and say, guess what? Just count your blessings right now as your jailer's about to beat you for the next 3 days or 30 days or whatever. It's eternal. There's parts to it. I think the big three themes from when we just looked is that mankind is seeking eternal life. This guy, he had riches, he had power, but something is lacking. Jesus promised treasure on earth, but also treasure in heaven. And I think that's what's really powerful, is that Jesus doesn't just offer us a hope and a future when we die, but he offers us a hope and a future today. I know my own story is that the Lord, he didn't just, you know, save me and then leave me and all my issues. He started to pull me out. He's been pulling me out of my issues in myself every single day. I used to struggle with depression and anxiety and lust and alcoholism. And praise God, I don't struggle with those things anymore. Not because I did anything, but Jesus came and his eternal life started the day I got saved. Did you know eternal life starts the day you get saved? That's when you become an eternal spirit. Right? This is a little bit of a sidetrack, but guess what? It's the week after Thanksgiving, so I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do. Okay? So, when God said, let us make mankind in our own image, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus, or was God at that time, was he a physical man or was he a spirit? Spirit. So he said, let us make mankind in our image. The image is not physical. You physically are not the image of God. Newsflash. But when you get saved, your spirit becomes the image of God. And as he sanctifies you, your spirit becomes the likeness of God if you allow him to build and develop your character in your spirit. Okay? So God is a spirit. It's eternal. He promised on earth and in heaven. Powerful. I love it. I remember when Rebecca was playing basketball at the University of Hawaii. We actually spent a Christmas there. And this was just a great experience. I recommend it highly. If you can spend Hawaii, a Christmas in Hawaii, just, you know, do yourself a favor. Go do it, you know. You deserve it. But, you know, I think I was 17 years old. I really didn't really appreciate what was happening, this, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity we're having. And we were on the beach, and we were celebrating, and it was amazing. And I remember after a couple days being like, is this it? Is this it? You know, there's palm trees, beaches, you know, I'm in Hawaii, aloha spirit, all that great stuff. I'm like, but is this it? There's got to be more to life than this. And I think one of the things I've realized, the more stuff or experiences that I get to interact with and experience, the more I realize that it's great, but there's something else. There's something else. And it was amazing. I remember being kind of bored and kind of sad in paradise. And it was just a great lesson that, you know what? You can eat the best meal. You can be on the biggest super yacht. You can date the most beautiful person. But if you're not in the will of God in eternal life, it really doesn't mean a whole lot at all. And the very nature of joy and happiness and the fleetingness of it, it points to something eternal. Like, I, you know, my wife and I, we just got back from South Carolina where we spent the whole week with her whole family and all the kids. And We got a wonderful family. They're all serving the Lord, and it's just, it's beautiful and wonderful. And we changed, you know, a million diapers and pull-ups, and it was just insane. But it was so much fun, and but now I'm here, and it's over, and it's done, and those good feelings are gone. And so if I don't have an eternal thankfulness, an eternal joy, that was not just in the past, but in the present, but now in the future, you'd be a very sad person. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen," the physical, "but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal," or temporary, "but the things which are not seen are eternal." Eternal life, eternal thankfulness is about the Spirit of God. So I've got 3 points for you today, and then we're going to wrap it up. It's going to be a short sermon, hopefully, unless the Holy Spirit just takes over. True thankfulness is threefold. We need to, one, remember yesterday. That's thankfulness. I'm thankful for what God has done, what has happened, experiences. Number two, we need to rejoice today. That's Thanksgiving. We must find a way to be happy and joyful today. And number three, we must receive tomorrow. Receive tomorrow. It's a pre-thankfulness. It's a thankfulness for what is not yet because we serve an amazing, mighty God. So point number one, remember yesterday. Psalms 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." One of the things that I love about reading the Bible is that I get to remember yesterday. And I get to remember and learn about a God that God is not obsessed with my life. That there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of years of history with Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah and, you know, everyone in the New Testament. I get to remember and see back and be thankful that I get to be part of this amazing story. When I remember yesterday, I get to look to my childhood and all the amazing things that have happened in my life and look back at experiences and playing college football and good Christmases we've had. You know, hopefully you don't just get to enjoy this Thanksgiving, you get to think back to other Thanksgivings. You get your eternal thankfulness starts in the past. You get to think about all the things that God has done. Here's a Vietnamese proverb for you. If you're Vietnamese, this is for you. It says, "When eating fruit, remember the one who planted the tree." Very good. I like that. A little Eastern wisdom there. But it's so true. It's like when you enjoy something. Mama liked that one. Take the time. It's some deep reading, Mama. Anyway. But take the time to, how did I get here? What happened? My thankfulness now, I have to look and understand that I'm literally standing on the shoulders of giants that came before me. And KJ, my son, we're big routine guys. He's just like his father in that way. So he gets fed probably twice a night, probably about 2 or 3, and then again at 5 or 6. And so after his second feeding, he likes to stay up for a little bit. So Ashley sleeps, I get up with him, and then I start my routine. We, you know, we drink some coffee, we read the Bible together. It's great. He's awesome. And but as I'm holding my son, being really thankful in the moment for him, I can't help but think, this is how my dad used to hold me. And when I pray over him, I'm like, wow, dad used to pray over me, you know? And being thankful for right now, I can't help but thinking about all the great things that have happened to me, that I can stand here and have a baby and have a family and have a home. And I realize that this is not because I'm just a good kid, right? My diapers, Dad. Thank you. But it's amazing. So we have to look back. We have to remember what Jesus did. We have to remember the good things that have happened. We have to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves all of the great things that have happened, right? If you look at the track record of Jesus, if you look at the track record of God, he's got a great, perfect track record. He's been good to you. We got to look back.
Yes.
And that should bring us to today. We must rejoice today. We must rejoice today. Charles Dickens, the author of A Christmas Carol and several other wonderful stories, he said, "Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man or woman has many. not only of your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. So he said, listen, there always is something to be grateful for. And I know some people, when they preach about thankfulness, they want you to like compare, you know, like we have it so good in America compared to others. But real thankfulness for me that really works is when I don't actually compare. I don't get on social media. I don't care what anyone else has. I don't care what anyone else is doing. I'm just thankful for what I have, right? Not in comparison. I'm thankful that I'm alive. I'm thankful that I have clothes. Not that they compare with anyone else's clothes, but that I have clothes. And I feel like that's where the Lord wants us, is a real thankfulness in the moment with zero comparison. Good. Not thankful that you have more than a poor person or comparing you to less than a very rich person, but I'm thankful I have what I have. And we live in such a culture that is so anti-thankful, right, and so greedy and so comparing that we want to pull people down so that everyone has exactly the same, instead of being saying, God, you gave me what I have. I'm thankful for what you gave me. There was, I remember when I was working in Houston, this was before I was a regional director. I was in compliance. I would just go check programs and just write people up for not doing the right thing. You know, I was really good at it. No, it's pretty critical. No, but anyway, I remember I got, I don't know if anyone ever experienced this, I got a verbal promotion. This is your new role. However, HR had no idea this had happened, right? So there was no paperwork. There was no salary increase. Not a lot of people knew, but I was doing more work, more responsibilities. And everything in me wanted to be like, this is not fair, this is unjust. And I was like, but Lord, I'm doing this work, Lord. Why am I not getting compensated for my work? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Ben, I chose your salary. I chose it. Not HR, not your boss, not your situation. I want you to do this work and get paid this much. Okay. Sounds good to me. And so I realized this, that when you're in the will of God, He decides what you get. He gives you what you have. So if you're not thankful, your problem is with God. Honestly, what you're saying is, God, I know better than you, and I deserve more than you've given me, which is rebellion. Not good. Rejoice today. Be thankful today. Don't compare. But if you're not in the will of God, get in the will of God and then be thankful. Be thankful. I mean, Ashley's listening right now, but this is the only way marriage works. Be thankful for the wife you have. Be thankful for the husband you have. Be thankful for the family you have. Be thankful for the body you have. Be thankful. Because if you're not, your life is awful. I don't know if you've ever met someone who's maybe a little advanced in years, and they're just striving and striving and striving for something that they're never going to get. It's so annoying. It's like, just be thankful. You know, just be thankful, right? And it's funny, even, you know, becoming a dad, right? Like, I'm just feeling different things in my life leaving, you know, like different desires of like to look a certain way or act a certain way or be cool or be whatever. You know, things are just leaving. I'm like, you know, who cares? Who actually cares? You know what I mean? About to get some white New Balances and just rock it out, you know? Can't wait. Wisdom. What a bargain. What a great deal. Sorry if you have New Balances. But the point is, what is the point? The point is I need to move on. But we need to be thankful. All right, number three. Receive tomorrow. Receive tomorrow. This is great. Now we can talk about some faith. Receive tomorrow. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving, we are, not yet, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Yes. Be thankful for what is going to happen. And so worship God. If you come to church on Sunday, or every morning in devotion, you can worship God for what He has done, what he is doing or what he will do, you can be thankful. You can worship. I don't care if you don't like the song. I don't care if you don't like the preaching. I don't care if you don't like what's going on in your life. You can be thankful. In fact, you can be thankful 100% of the time. Are you really thankful if you're only thankful when good things happen? Nope. You're not. You're a mercenary. You're just looking for the highest pay, the highest bidder. I don't bet you, but I want a friend who's going to be there through thick and thin, not just when times are good. I want family. I want church that's going to be there because they have a deep-rooted thankfulness in the Lord, not because I really like the sermon series we're in, or I really like this or that. Be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, you will never get to understanding God's identity unless you first start with thankfulness. Thankfulness is like the currency to get in the door. It's the cover charge. You got to pay with thankfulness. And then it ushers you into, wait a second, there's an awe-inspiring God that I'm worshiping. Now I actually can worship, and this God is so mighty, he's an all-consuming fire. Maybe what's blocking your worship today is your thankfulness. Or not, but it probably is. Your thankfulness. God is a consuming fire. And I love the word receiving. Even salvation. Now, salvation, there is a moment where someone gets saved. They were in the kingdom of darkness, now they're in the kingdom of light. They were spiritually dead, now they're spiritually alive. But even the whole concept of salvation and the gifts of God that we see in the Bible, there is a, I am saved this moment, I am getting saved, and one day when Jesus returns, I shall be saved. And so this, it just shows the eternal nature of expectation and thankfulness is that I need to be looking forward to what God is going to do, not just on this life, but in the life to come. Thankfulness should be eternal. And the difference between being thankful and having a hope for the future and then being in fear or anxiety and worrying all comes down to really one thing, and it's who you're putting your trust in. Now, if you have fear of the future, you're probably not trusting the Lord that he's got everything in control. But if you have faith and hope that tomorrow's going to be better, and you know what? It's going to be okay, and God's going to be in control, and God's already got it planned out, God's already got it, I can trust the Lord. That's really the difference between I'm thankful and I'm expectant pre-thankfulness and hope, rather than, you know what, I have to worry and be consumed because I'm honestly really in control of the situation, right? And one thing Ashley and I have started doing is, and this is ties right into what Elder Gene June was talking about, his tithing message, but because Ashley and I, we tithe and we give to missionaries and we give a first fruits gift, we give a ton, but you know, if we had a financial advisor, they would pull their hair out. They'd be like, what are you doing? Stop giving money away. But the great thing is that because we're obedient in that area, whenever a bill comes, and we're getting a lot of bills, baby bills, but when the bills come in, I literally write a scripture on it, normally a psalm, like I trust in the Lord, and then I pray and I say, God, I've been obedient, you got to pay this bill. And it's amazing. I just feel it just released, come off me. And the Lord says, yep, you've been obedient, I'm going to take care of this bill. And I literally can just say, God, I'm thankful for what you've done. You've never let me down financially. I have everything I need right this second, right? And I'm not going to worry about the future. God, you are going to take care of every bill and every need that is ever going to come. Right. And it's amazing, but it all comes with a thankfulness, yes, of what God has done, of what I have right now, not compared to anybody else, but what I have, God has given me, and what God is going to do for me. Are you getting this? Yes. And it's amazing. I write a scripture on it, and I say, Lord, you're going to have to pay this bill, and I trust you, and I'm thankful that you're going to take care of it. Because I'm standing on the promises and the history that I've seen with the Lord, right? Yeah. And that's how God wants us to live, fully thankful. God, I'm pr- problems are going to come, but I'm already thankful because you are already have taken care of them. And I just may not know how yet, but you're going to take care of it. Right? If you live according to his word and his will. Right? If you're off doing your own thing, being rebellious, stiff-arming the Lord, not being thankful, good luck. You should be really anxious and fearful. Good luck. I would not want to live that way. But if you put everything under the lordship of Jesus, say, you are the Lord of every area of my life, all finances, all relationships, everything that I do, I want to please you. Oh, the future just sounds so good. Because you know who's controlling the future. It's God, and he's trustworthy, and he's awesome, and he's an all-consuming fire. It's making sense.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes if you're like me, we're thankful. Sometimes I'm super thankful. Sometimes I'm not thankful at all, right? I'm just like, I'm unthankful for Ashley, so we get an argument. Or I'm unthankful for my body, so I go on a crazy diet. Or I'm unthankful for the amount of money God's given me, so I look at all these side hustles to do. Or, you know, whatever it is, right? Or I'm unthankful for my yard, so I do a bunch of yard work, you know. Or I'm unthankful for my furniture, so I go look for more furniture. Whatever it is, okay? Rather than just realizing I need to be thankful 100% of the time, no matter what. It's like a hat. I'm going to put on the hat of thankfulness, and I'm never going to take it off, no matter what happens. I think we as Americans, we're good at putting it on for Thanksgiving, right? Or putting it on for Christmas, or putting it on at payday, or putting it on when you're, you know, your kids obey, whatever, or put it on when something happens good, or when, you know, Florida State destroys the Gators, you know, put it on, you know. I'm going to wear my thankfulness hat. Come on now. God, that was sweet. But we put it on for a little bit, right? But we need to be a church, and really this is what I think the whole word of the Lord for us today is we need to be a church that is 100% eternally thankful.
Yes.
All the time. And just, we need just to decide. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit's here to help us be thankful, but this is just a big boy, big girl, put your big boy, big girl pants on. Let's be thankful. Don't compare, be thankful. And when you're thankful, you can start that beautiful, sweet relationship with the Lord because now you understand who he really is. So we're going to have our prayer team come up in a little bit, but we're going to pray for you. And hope you have a great week. So, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for every single person, Lord, in this room or listening online. Father, I thank you that we have so much to be thankful for, and you have done so much in our past for us, and even before we were born, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. And, Lord, we can be eternally thankful. Father, I pray that we would stop comparing, we would stop letting the world dictate our thankfulness or our happiness or our joy, or that we would undulate in thankfulness and unthankfulness. But Father, give us a perseverance of consistent thankfulness because of what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Father, I pray that you would bless every single person in this room, Lord. I pray that you would draw all of us closer to you. Father, that we would understand that really the greatest things in life happen in your presence, and not with stuff we get or stuff we get to do. So Lord, I pray that we would be a church that is thankful and gets to have face-to-face interactions with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm gonna pray one more prayer, one more prayer. Lord, if there's anyone in here that really doesn't have a relationship with you and was listening today and says, you know, it sounds good, I wanna know God, but I really don't, and I need to repent. I'm the rich young ruler. I've kind of got what I need, but I don't understand that I need Jesus and that I can't save myself. Only Jesus can save me. If there's anyone in here that you feel that call and you really want to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you're willing literally to sell everything that you have and follow Jesus, if he asks you, he won't. But if he does, if you're willing to make that commitment, I'm going to pray with you. So if that's you, just pray under your breath. Lord, thank you for this person. I pray, Father, that you would lead them unto you. Okay, just say this. Say, Jesus, I repent for my sin. I repent for trying to be the Lord and Savior of my own life. Lord, I repent for trying to come up with all the solutions and pushing you out from the place of my life as my Lord and King. Father, I take myself off the throne and I elevate you to be the Lord of my life. Father, I pray that you would help me truly be thankful for what you did for me on the cross. I thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you for a relationship I get to have with you. And Father, I dedicate my life to you. And I ask that you would put people around me that would disciple me and that would lead me in my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was you, please come see me or one of our staff after the sermon. We'd love to connect with you. But if not, have a great Sunday. And if you can, stick around. Help us get ready for Christmas, all right? God bless you, and we'll see you next week.